For a little context, I am currently a senior in college and live off campus with my two best friends. This time of year, particularly around Thanksgiving, my friends try to help me stay busy as it is typically a difficult time for me. My mother left our family the week of Thanksgiving when I was 8 years old, and my dad passed away 5 years ago on November 22nd. So as I said, it's a pretty easy time of year to get myself down in the dumps if I don't stay active. Every year for the last 3 or 4 years, I have gone to one of my friends' houses to celebrate Thanksgiving with their families. But this past year I decided I wanted to just stay home and have a mellow long weekend. I figured I could catch up on work as well as my schoolwork, which was pretty far behind. My roommates and I didn't live particularly close to the university. We lived in a suburb about 15 to 20 minutes outside of the school. This was nice because we didn't ever have to host any parties. We could just attend them near campus and head back home afterwards. Anyways, there was one house on our street that didn't quite match the others. It wasn't that the house was worse than the others, but it had no landscaping and desperately needed a fresh coat of paint. My roommates and I knew the owner as he introduced himself when we moved in a few years back. His name is Jacob. He's about 5'6" and probably weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. Every time we've had an interaction with him, he was always very nice and polite. He even helped us fix our porch light when it broke last summer. He seems to be very cordial with everyone in the neighborhood and has helped numerous people with small handy jobs similar to the one I just mentioned. On the Wednesday night leading up to Thanksgiving, my two roommates went back to their family's houses in their hometowns. They both asked several times if I was 100% sure I wanted to spend Thanksgiving alone and that I'd be fine by myself. I honestly thought I would be and thought perhaps enough time had passed that I could just focus on other things and not dwell on the past. I stocked up on Mountain Dew so I could stay awake after my assignments to play some PlayStation. At about 9 or 10 p.m., I went up to my room to throw on some sweatpants and grab the blanket for my bed. I glanced out my window and saw Jacob sitting on his front porch with the two porch lights on. I didn't think anything of it and went downstairs into the kitchen and made a peanut butter and fluff sandwich. I would say I was in the kitchen for probably about 5 minutes or so, finishing eating and doing a few dishes. When I finally sat down to play some games, I thought I heard something hit the front bay window, so I went to take a look. At first, I didn't see anything, but then noticed that Jacob had now turned the porch lights off and was standing on his front lawn, staring at the house with his head tilted like he was looking towards the windows upstairs. A little creeped out, I tried calling one of my friends who knew I was still in town to see if she wanted to meet up or stop over to hang out for a little bit. She didn't answer, so I sat on the couch for a couple of moments trying to figure out what to do. He was still standing there staring and seemingly moving a few feet closer to our property each time I looked. I wasn't sure what to do. I couldn't call the cops. He hadn't done anything except freak me out a little, and to this point, he hadn't even stepped on my property. After another few minutes, I looked out the window again and saw Jacob now on our lawn looking at the corner of the house. At least that's what it looked like he was staring at. At this point, I wasn't sure what his intentions were, and I didn't want to find out. Perhaps I was blowing this out of proportion, but I was legitimately scared. I grabbed my keys and phone and a few other items, thinking I would just drive to campus. Maybe the library was still open, even though we were off for the holiday. I kept all the lights on so I didn't seem like I was leaving and decided I was going to sneak out the back door. As I quietly sneaked through the yard, I turned the corner to quickly get to my car, and there was Jacob, standing in our driveway. I asked him what he was doing in the driveway and he put his finger over his mouth to make a shh noise. I slapped him as hard as I could and made a run for it past my car. My instincts and adrenaline told me to just run until I found someone or someplace else. As I got about a block or two down the road, I saw a bunch of cop cars pull up towards the area of my house. Confused, I began to go back towards my house, thinking perhaps another neighbor saw Jacob stalking outside of my house and called the police. As I approached the house, one of the officers asked my name and if this was my residence. I confirmed the information, and what I heard next is still the most horrifying and disturbing information I had ever received. The officer stated that Jacob reported that he was on his porch when he saw me from across the street. He saw me walk out of my upstairs bedroom, and as I walked away out of the room, he saw a man come out of my closet. Apparently that was why Jacob was looking into my room when I saw him the first time, and also why he was looking at the corner of the house. He was following the intruder, who was now walking into my roommate's room. When I last saw him outside my house before I slapped him and ran in terror, Jacob stated that the random guy in my house had made it to the downstairs. Jacob was trying not to make any noise as not to alert the person inside, fearful he could be violent or dangerous. As soon as he saw the man in the house, Jacob called the authorities and did his best to try and defuse the situation and not bring any alarm to myself or the intruder. The person inside the house was arrested and taken away. He didn't have anything on him other than a knife, so it is unclear if he was attempting to rob the home or was planning something more sinister. Either way, I couldn't express to Jacob how much gratitude I had for what he did. He even tried apologizing for how he handled the situation, stating that there were probably things he could have done differently to make sure I was safe and aware of the situation. Unfortunately, this experience adds another mental scar to this time of year that will take a long time to get over. But one thing I can be sure of is that I will never spend a Thanksgiving holiday alone again. This incident occurred during my second year of college, sometime in the fall of 2002. All 4 years there, I worked as a waitress in a small family restaurant next to campus. The pay was far from adequate, but the owners treated me like one of them. Growing up without parents made this connection very important to me, so much so they remain an important part of my life to this day. I was one of four girls working nights, and three of us were students currently attending the university. The surrounding neighborhood had been on a downward slide for the past 20 years. Even with a large number of students inhabiting the area, crime was still steadily on the rise. In order to at least try to prevent ourselves from becoming victims of said crime, several safety measures were implemented. All the usual things, escorting each other to our cars, not leaving the back door open, things like that. However, no matter how hard you try to be safe, some a-hole will find a way to violate you anyway. One late night, just as we were wrapping up the dinner shift, a giant idiot would do just this and, in the process, almost cause a beautiful family to collapse. That night, we were quickly coming on the end of another regular dinner shift when a man came in and said he wanted to get something to go. No problem. I took his order and gave it to the kitchen. Working the kitchen that night was Matt, the owner's only son, and he wasn't happy when he saw it. He tried to throw it together as fast as possible so he could finish cleaning and head home. While he waited, the man paced nervously, looking outside repeatedly. This behavior seemed kind of shady, so I stopped my closing duties and began looking outside to see if I could see what he was looking at. It took a minute, but I caught sight of another man standing just out of view of the bay windows. This guy was dirty-looking. His hair looked like it hadn't been washed or combed in years. The second man's actions were very similar to the others, almost as if though they were about to rob us. I foolishly pushed my instincts aside and began ringing up the man's orders. When I gave him the total, he quickly handed me a $20 bill and looked behind him. I continued to ignore his behavior, and when I opened the drawer, I heard a man's voice quietly tell me to give him all the money in the register. Maybe from instinct, I looked up to see who it was. It was all coming from the customer. Did you forget something? Everything that happened after this went by so fast. I still question my recollection of events to this day. I know for sure that Matt's arrival surprised us both, but the look on the customer or robber's face was pure shock. The second I noticed him moving the gun away from my face, I crouched behind the podium to hide. The gunfire followed soon after that. I wasn't sure if Matt had been shot at this point. I was still curled up on the floor with my arms over my head, very similar to a child hiding under the covers in hopes the boogeyman will go away. I don't know how long I stayed like that. A few seconds, maybe? When I did peek out from my arms, all I saw was Matt's body laying motionless on the floor. Even then, I stayed where I was until I heard the voice of his mom yelling out to us. That's when I finally stood up to see the results. The shooter was gone, and money was scattered all over the floor from where I dropped it. Matt more than likely died immediately. At his feet, grilled chicken salad was scattered everywhere like the money. Matt's mom stormed out of the back. When she saw her only son lying on the floor, she collapsed in grief next to him, and this is where she stayed until the police arrived. Just to avoid making an already long story longer, I'll leave you with the facts. Even after telling the cops everything I saw and giving a detailed description of both men, neither man was caught. The family closed the restaurant for several days after the shooting and stayed that way until a few days after the funeral. From the day of the reopening, a cop in plain clothes has protected the place, and there hasn't ever been another holdup since. My work at the restaurant would continue for the remainder of my time at the university. I was shaken up for quite a while, and may have been for far longer if it wasn't for the love and support of the family. We seem to have served as a coping mechanism for one another, and through the shared pain of Matt's death, brought closer together. After I graduated, I moved on and am currently living in Atlanta with my partner. The restaurant continues running 5 days a week and doing well. It seems the neighborhood may be on its way up. In the last year, several large companies have opened branches, and the continued growth has proved to be a positive thing for all concerned. Allison, the matriarch of the family, recently told me on a phone call that she was willing to put up with the hipsters that were slowly invading the area. After all, they were a big step up from the murdering crackheads that had been seen there before.